Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Welcome again, everybody. I hope you had a lot of welcome when you walked in the door to Infusion Sunday. Sorry, I'm going to adjust this stand here for a second. I asked for this last minute, so everybody around here is so gracious. You're a gracious people, you know that? Well, welcome. You look good today. Happy Infusion Sunday. It's a happy day in the house. Amen? That was a good amen. And while we're on that, let's go ahead and set a standard. So I know sometimes Pastor Doug gets up here and he's like, man, you should have said amen there. I'm not messing around with that. When I say something good, we're going to say
amen.
That's right. That's right. We're going to say amen. We're going to claim it. Amen? All right. We got some practice. We're good. We're good. Well, before we start, I want to publicly thank Pastor Doug. I don't think everybody realizes just how much it is for Pastor Doug to give up an entire Sunday. And that's a really, really big deal. And we're so grateful. So thank you, Pastor Doug. We're so honored that you would trust us youth and young adults with this service. I wanted to do that publicly. It's awesome. Well, are you having fun today?
Amen!
You guys are awesome. All right. So before we get started, I want to give you a sneak peek. I'm all about spoilers. And I want to tell you, before we talk about what we're going to say, I want to tell you what God wants to do, because God wants to do a lot in you today.
Amen.
Amen. You guys are awesome. This is going to be easy. Pros. We're going to have you all practiced up for Val next week, and then when Pastor's back, you're going to be ready to say amen all the time.
Amen.
So today, God wants to realign your thinking, and he wants to get into the places of what you think about yourself. And all of the Christians in the room went, right? Because we talk about the way we see other people all the time. We talk about love. But God wants to get into those touchy places of what we think about ourselves, how we feel about ourselves. And if you know me, you know this is a topic that Lizzie is very passionate about. So we're excited for that. So how many of you came to church today and you said, man, I'm ready to see what God's going to do today?
Amen.
Yeah? So let me step on your toes a minute. Would you let me do that? Can I step on your toes? Maybe we shouldn't have said, I want God to do something for me today. Let me tell you what. Pastor's been talking about this a lot lately, and it's been really challenging me about how often I show up to church and say, I'm ready to come to church, and I'm ready for God to do something in me, instead of saying, God's really done it. God's really done it, but I want to come to church so I can learn how to receive it. Because everything I need is available to me. It's really up to me knowing how to receive. So that's what we're going to do today. I want to put some tools in your toolbox to know better how to receive of the authority and the power that he's called you to walk in. I talk about tools a lot. So at my school, I'm currently in college. I'm about to finish my last year. Everybody said amen. Okay. And at my school, I serve as, we call it a DL. So that stands for devotional leader. And so every week on my floor of 26 girls, it's a lot of estrogen, but every week I lead a floor devo that can go anywhere from a 45-minute just talking about the word, or sometimes we have three-hour prayer services. It's really anywhere in between, but there we talk a lot about, the Holy Spirit has worked in me this last year and on my floor to talk about the word and how oftentimes we see the word as, well, a lot of times it's like we have to battle with the world about this concept of the word being full of rules. And I would challenge that the word is not full of rules, the word is full of tools. And so I'm really passionate about that. So today is going to be all about, I want to give you this tool. So before we begin, if you have your Bibles, if you'd open up with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1, pull out your iPhones, your smartphones, I don't care, that's fine, I use mine. Mine's up here just in case I need it, so pull that out, and we're going to read the words of Paul. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what's going on here if you don't know. So 1 Timothy, this is a letter that was written by Paul. We're going to be talking about Paul today. And Paul was writing to Timothy, who he called his true child in the faith. So kind of like his mentee. And Timothy was staying here in Ephesus, and he was ministering to people. And Paul wrote him this letter. So I want to read this verse. We're going to be referencing it a lot today. This is out of chapter 1, verse 12. And if you're friends with me on Facebook and you watch my videos that I post, you've heard this verse, but it's not going to be the same as when I read it the last time. So don't worry. You can still listen. Awesome. Okay. So I'm going to be reading now the Amplified Bible. So if it sounds a little bit different, that's why. But listen with me. This is Paul speaking. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has granted me the needed strength and made me able for this, because he considered me faithful and trustworthy, putting me into service for this ministry. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer of our Lord and a persecutor of his church and a shameful and outrageous and violent aggressor toward believers, yet I was shown mercy because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord, his amazing, unmerited favor and blessing, flowed out in superabundance for me, together with the faith and love which are realized in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful and trustworthy statement, deserving of full acceptance and approval, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example or pattern for those who would believe in him for eternal life. That has slowly over this course of the summer become one of my favorite verses, and you're going to learn a lot today how. But before we talk about that, I want to talk to you about value. So Marcus was up here talking about working out, which is funny because I was going to talk to you about working out. I thought that was hysterical. Offering always lines up with the word. I think that's awesome. But so I was actually going to talk to you a little bit about fitness. So let me give you some context into Lizzie. I sometimes talk in third person. Sorry about that. Okay, so let's talk about Lizzie. So Lizzie in high school was a student athlete. Lizzie in high school loved fitness, blah, blah, blah. Then Lizzie went to college. Okay. So basically, Lizzie only goes for a run when she doesn't want to do her homework. So you could say that's a lot, but you also could say it's not. So that's kind of what happened to me. And this summer, I've been like, okay, you know, I need to start working out again. I got to take care of my body. And on Instagram, I follow a lot of, like, motivational, like, bloggers or whatever. I don't know. And there's this one. Her name is Julie Ledbetter. This girl, man, let me tell you what. She's awesome. And you follow her, too. She's awesome. Yeah. She loves the Lord, and she's super passionate about fitness, all the stuff, whatever. And so every time I see her little post, I'm like, I'm going to go work out. I don't usually, but I say that. And but she talks about this concept of honor. She'll put on her little story, like, have you worked out today? But instead of saying, have you worked out, she'll say, I'm honoring my body with movement. Are you? And I'm like, that convicted me. And she's smart. I mean, that's supposed to be some marketing tips. I don't know. But she has this little poll that she puts on her Instagram story, like, pretty much every day. And there's only two options. On Instagram, you can put, like, two little, you know, you can vote. And you can put done and dusted, which is what she said after she's worked out, or you can put going later. You don't get to say it's my off day. You don't get to say I'm tired, which I use that one a lot. You don't get to say whatever. You can only put done and dusted or going later. And I'm always like, I really want to vote on that poll. Like, I really want to mark, like, done and dusted, and I can't get myself to mark going later because I know I'm not. So, like, I have to wait until I've done it. So Julie Ledbetter really, like, motivates me to work out. If you know my brother, Mason, you know, he's super buff. The homie is like, I don't know what happened. Like, he's so fit. It's awesome. I started working out with him a little bit, like this much. And Marcus, my boyfriend, also is super into working out too. So they're always like, come on, Lizzie, let's go to the gym. Come on, let's go to the gym. And usually if I'm alone at home, the answer is absolutely not. However, if they're over and they're like, come on, go work out with us. Okay, I'll go work out with you because I'll spend time with you. That's like kind of how it's been. So work out like twice a week now. I don't know. So I work out. So they work out because they value fitness, right? They value honoring their body with movement. I work out because I value them. Not because I do value working out, but clearly not enough. So I value that in them. And then Julie Ledbetter, this Instagrammer, let me tell you what, she takes it a step further. And this is her life. This is her business. She teaches people about nutrition. She teaches people about nutrition, and she teaches people about fitness and how good it is for you because she believes in it so much that she tells people about it. My brother, Mason, started doing this too with his Instagram. He tells people about fitness. He tells them how important it is, and he encourages people. What you value is first what you're going to put your time into. And what you value is second, how much you value it, that's what you're going to talk about, okay? So I want to talk to you about valuing your story. Everyone said, Lizzie, don't get selfish. Come on, don't think about yourself too much. But here's the thing. Oh my goodness, if Julie Ledbetter stopped posting on Instagram and my brother stopped saying, Lizzie, come work out with me, I'd never work out again, okay? Like, it would never happen unless I had a big project I was avoiding. Like, it would never happen. Why? Because they keep me accountable, because I clearly don't value it enough, but they do, right? Their value is kind of rubbing off. So whatever is inside of me, the value that's inside of me will be reflected in my actions. Are we there? Are you with me? You all have a story in you. All of you. Everyone. Every single one of you. You have something inside of you. You are a spirit. All of you. You are a spirit, right? You have a story. You have a testimony inside of you. What you do about it really is reflective of how much you value it. So we're going to talk today about increasing the value that we have for our own story. And increasing the value that we have. And it's not about us. It's still about Jesus. But we understand that the story that's in us, the testimony that's in us, is evidence of him. It's evidence of his character. And so we got to come to a place of valuing that just a little bit more. Because we got to talk about it. Because as much as the word is our tool, this is our number one thing. We got the Holy Spirit, right? There's our, we got the Holy Spirit, we got the word. We also have evidence of him in us and in our story. And we got to value it so much that we're using it the way we're supposed to. I mean, who's going to have tools in their toolbox and never pull them out? That'd be silly. Well, I don't know. I feel like that might be a guy thing, that maybe you just have nice tools for no reason. I don't know. That might be. 1 John 5:10, I want to read this verse to you. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony within himself, because he can speak authoritatively about Christ from his own personal experience. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony inside of him because he can speak from his own personal experience. People need to hear what is inside of you. People need to hear it. I want to tell you this story. It's one of my favorite stories to tell, but I don't tell it very often. It's a little bit of a heavier story, but it has a happy ending, so stay with me, okay? I call this my Natalie story. Natalie's my sister's name. It's not about my sister. It's about another girl, but I just want to protect her name. So I call it my Natalie story, and I use her name because I feel like I can remember that because she's my sister, okay? So when I was a senior in high school, I went to a community college, and I was doing my schoolwork at a community college. And so in the afternoons, at the very end of the day, I was a mentor. So I'd come back to the high school and I would do mentor during homeroom, but I didn't take my classes at the high school. So I would just kind of hang out sometimes. My school wasn't air conditioned, so I hung out in the office where there was air conditioning. And I would usually hang out there for like the last period or whatever and work on my statistics or whatever I was doing that day. One day I was sitting in there all peaceful, working on my work. I was being productive, which if you know me, you know sometimes that does not happen very often. And this girl, Nat, we're going to call her Natalie, came into the office. She sat down at a table, and I knew of her, but like I said, I wasn't really at the high school, so I didn't know a lot of the kids there, but I knew of her. I knew of her very well, and I knew that she knew of me. A lot of people knew of me because I love Jesus, and that was kind of the extent of it, but I knew she knew of me, and I knew of her, and she was one of those girls that a lot of people like weren't very nice to. Like, she was the people that everyone called weird, and she was, you know, the girl that people weren't very nice to. I got a big passion for those people. If you know Lizzie, you know that, okay? So she sits down, and I honestly had my headphones in. I really wasn't interested in talking that day, but she just starts talking to me, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I really don't need to hear all of this. And she just starts talking. She doesn't even know me. I don't know why she's doing this, but she just starts talking and talking and talking and talking and telling me about the people that were bullying her, and she was telling me about the problems that she had at home, and she was telling me all these problems. So I was listening, and, oh, yeah, I'm really sorry, whatever. And I felt this, like, I don't, has God ever, like, hit you on the side of the head? I don't know. He's done that to me. Like, and he did that. He was like, Lizzie, tell this story. And it was a testimony to me that I'd never told before. I wasn't comfortable telling it. It just felt dirty. I don't know. And so it was a story in me, something that God had saved me from that I never spoke about. And he'd tell her that testimony. I was like, no. That's not going to happen. And so I kept listening, and I'm being a good person, and you got listening. God, Lizzie, tell her that story. And I was like, no. And I mean, we fought for like a good 3 minutes, and she's talking. Finally, I said, Natalie, can I tell you a story? And she was like, sure. And I told her the story. And I said, can I ask you a question? She said, okay. I said, if I told you that there was a love that existed that chases you and that could never, ever, ever fail you. Would you believe me? She was like, I don't really know. Told her a little bit more of this story, told her about Jesus, and I said, if I told you that Jesus loved you, he's loved you from the start, he would never leave you, would you want to be a part of that? She's like, yeah, I want that. So we grabbed her hands, we prayed, and she was saved. But that's not even the cool part. Laid hands on her, she was prayed, she received Jesus. She came to youth group with me that night. It was a Wednesday, God knew. She said, Lizzie, can I show you something? I said, okay. Super nervous, this part gets heavy. Just stay with me, happy ending, okay? She opens up her computer, and she says, I journal every night. I said, good, journaling's good. You know, she says, I journal every night. She said, I want to tell you first how much happiness I feel and how much peace I feel and how different I feel even from the last 5 minutes, okay? And she opened up, she showed me this journal, and her journal from the night before was that she was done with life. She didn't want to live anymore. And today, if the day didn't go well, she decided that this wasn't really the life for her. And I just started to cry, and so we prayed again, we connected to our counselor, all the things. All the things are good. She loves Jesus still, it's awesome. Your story is one that needs to be told. It has to be. It's not even this is kind of cool, I can talk about it. Like, your story is so valuable. Jesus makes himself real through your story. Man, if I wouldn't have told Natalie that story that day. Man, if I wouldn't have told her. I believe that God would have saved her, but she would have, man, I would have missed out. And happened this story. It goes back to the slushy, you know what I'm saying? You always get the lesson. I'm going to reference that all the time. That's good. Your story has so much value. I like to call a story or a testimony, I like to call them but gods. Everyone say, but God. And what I was going to do today, I didn't end up doing it. What I was going to do is I had this whole list. If you want it, you can ask me for it. I'll send it to you. This whole list of times in Scripture that it says, but God. And let me tell you something. That is like a very, very, very long list. Like, that is a super long list of the times that someone has written, I was this. Like Paul, he says, I was formerly a blasphemer of our Lord Jesus and a persecutor of his church. But God saved me. But God saved me. You all have a but God, whether you realize it or not. And our but God is so valuable. Our but God is something that needs to be told. And while the Spirit is our tool and the Word is our tool, our but God is our tool. It is Jesus' evidence in us. It's what he's made himself real through. Today, I thought about really, really, really just focusing on that, because that is so important. And you know what? While I'm talking, if you're thinking of one, if you're like, oh man, I remember the time that I was this, but God came, he did this. Just go ahead. If you'll jot it down, if you journal or something, write it down. Why? To remember that. And we're going to do more of that in a little bit, because it's really important that we recognize that God has shown up for us. There's not a person in this room sitting here today that God has not shown up for you. I promise you that you all have a but God. And if you feel like you don't worry. Today's your day. We're going to talk about that later. And today will be your day to say, man, I was this, but on July 21st, Infusion Sunday, but God came into me. And I am new and I am different. But here's the thing that I can't get away from. We're going to go back to 1 Timothy for a minute. Because as much as I value but God's, and as much as I believe we have to instill this value in it, like, we gotta learn how to value our own story, because as much as we value it, that's as much as we're gonna talk about it. That's as much as we're gonna tell people about it. So as much as I believe, like, we gotta value that, there's this piece I can't get away from. So go back with me to 1 Timothy. I'm going to read it all again. We're going to point something else out. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has granted me the needed strength and made me able for this, because he considered me faithful and trustworthy, putting me into service for this ministry, even though I was formerly a blasphemer of our Lord and a persecutor of his church and a shameful and outrageous and violent aggressor towards believers. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord, his amazing, unmerited flavor and blessing, flowed out in superabundance for me, together with the faith and love which are realized in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful and trustworthy statement, deserving a full acceptance and approval, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost. Yet for this reason, I found mercy, so that, everybody say, so that. So that in me as the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example or pattern for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Before I go into I guess you can kind of guess I'm going to talk about so that, right? Before I do, I want to touch on this. Most of us know about Paul. Paul writes like a significant amount of the New Testament of the Bible. Okay, Paul was a big minister in the New Testament church, a lot of the ministry that's done then was done by Paul. But before Paul was saved, Paul quite literally killed Christians. He was a blasphemer and a persecutor. But God chose him. Why? Why would God not choose somebody who seemed to be all cleaned up? In fact, if you look at the word, I think about King David. I think about King David a lot. I don't know. And I think about, man, David was a man after God's own heart. God used him so much. And then we look at the story of David and Bathsheba, and it's like, it totally just like messes with me. And then I think about Paul, and I think someone who God chose the foremost of sinners to do the majority of the ministry in the New Testament church. Why? Why? So that his perfect patience would be made known for all who would believe. God delights in choosing you. God delights in choosing people who are not all cleaned up. This last week, God kind of laid this analogy on my heart, and I didn't think we were going to talk about it, but during worship, brought it back to my mind. And that was this picture of a house. Now, I want everybody to close your eyes and go back with me like 10 years. I was a middle child of a family of eight. Mom, I'm so sorry. I was a middle child of a family of eight. And, like, our house is great, but, man, I swear it was a mess all the time. Like, not actually. We had a clean house, okay? But, like, there was eight of us, okay? Like, there were so many. Like, when my brother was, like, two, the oldest was 12. Like, it was crazy. And we had people in our house all the time. A lot of you were, like, there. A lot of you were constantly in the Conrad house. You were there, yeah. So, it was just, oh, my gosh. And I remember every time company came over, like, man, we clean that house. In fact, we had a saying. So Mom had a friend, and her name was Kelly. And Mom would say, go clean that room in Kelly's standards. Because Kelly was in the military, and Kelly had big standards. And Mom would say, go clean that room to Kelly's standards. Like, when guests came over, we cleaned the house. And if I'm being completely honest, my 10-year-old self shoved a lot of stuff in the drawer. Like, I opened the closet, and, like, that's what I did. I shut the door real tight. No guest is going to look in the closet, right? Like, that was what we did. And if Natalie was here, she would giggle, because we totally did it together. It was awesome. And God kind of brought that picture to my mind today, and he said, how much do you do this with your heart? He said, Lizzie, you are a house. He said, Lizzie, you know what's sad? When you shove stuff in the junk drawer, it doesn't make it invisible to me. All it does is make it untouchable to me. I want to get in there, and I already know it exists, and I'm not frightened by it. We are his house. We all have junk. We all have things we shoved in the closet. Natalie and I had a lot of broken toys and dolls that we shoved in the closet, and they're probably still there. I don't know. We are his house, and we all have our stuff, and he's not scared away by our stuff, and we know that because he chose Paul, the foremost of sinners. He chose Paul, and he chooses you. Let me tell you a truth that you need to remember. If you remember nothing else, hear me when I say, the fact that you are alive right now is evidence of the fact that this generation needs what you have. You have something inside of you that people need, every single one of you, every single one of you. He delights in choosing the foremost, and his desire for us is that when we say, okay, God, come in, and we open our front door, we wiped our counters down, we've done the dishes, but we leave the drawers open. We don't shut off the doors, because God says, I'm not scared off by your junk. In fact, if you'll just leave the door open, I'll come in and I'll clean it all up for you, and I'll organize it for you. And he wants to do that in you, and that starts with us recognizing what he's put in us and valuing it. We got to value it. But I want to get to this. If you take notes, I'm going to have you do a thing. I'm a note taker, and I love. Okay, Carrie. If you take notes, do me a favor and draw a T-chart, okay? And on one side, I want you to write the words, but God. And on the other side, I want you to write the words, so that. If you don't take notes, just like visualize it. I don't know if you can do that on an iPhone. I'm sure most of you have an iPhone. I don't know. But if you do take notes or whatever, just go here. Go here with me, okay? Go here. Our but God, super important. We just talked about that. Super important. But if Paul would have stopped at, man, I was formerly a blasphemer Christians, but God saved me. Look at me, right? He would have just been this minister that people are looking at. But because he said, but God chose me as the foremost so that his perfect patience would be made known, he went from highlight me and my story to my story highlights God. Because as much as I'm going to tell you, we got to value what's in you, man, I'm not thinking that we're so great. Like, it's not about us in the first place. Paul took the second step of, but God did this so that he would be made known. Paul didn't say, I was a blasphemer and persecutor of his Christians, but you know what? He saved me so that Paul could do great things. No. No, he said so that Christ's perfect patience might be made known to all whom will believe. Your so that, your but God is, yes, evidence of God, but it highlights a lot of you. Your so that highlights him. Another thing for your little T-chart, go with me. You're a but God. That's for sure salvation. That is for sure, I'd even say, servanthood, which is good. We love Jesus. But we go to that so that. That is where we stepped into the process of sanctification, the process of constantly being made, the constantly, like Ephesians 2:10, being his workmanship. We're constantly being worked on. That's where we go from servanthood to sonship. And we're called to be sons and daughters of the Most High God, and not just servants. Sons and daughters. When you make the switch, the but God, that's important. And I won't say that it's not. But if you stop there, you miss all of the power and the authority that he's given you. And what a tragedy. So we're going to cross that. Also, when we go to our so that, our but God is for us mostly, and also kind of for others, like in my Natalie story. Our so that is fully for others and for God. And really, when it comes down to it, our eyes should be upward, then outward, not inward, upward, outward. Or inward should never be first. But if you stop at but God, that's what happens. We got to make this switch to God did this in me so that X, Y, and Z. Ooh, that rhymed. Write that down. Okay. But God sometimes is our preference, but the so that is always God's preference. Always. Every time. Here's the thing about your life. When I got up here, when I started, I told you, a lot of what God wants to do today is reshape your thinking about the way you see yourself. And how many times are we down here worrying about little issues and whatever because we think we're here to have a good time? Like, you hear that, what is that trending phrase? I'm not here for a long time, here for a good time or something. I don't know. That is ridiculous. Like, I am not here for a good time. I am here because Christ Jesus wants to make himself known. And whatever that looks like through me, that is what I'm here for. I am not here to have a good time. I'm not here just to show up to church and have some fun. And while that's great, that is not what I'm here for. And he wants to reshape your thinking to recognize, oh, wait. It's all his anyways. All the good stuff is just extra. Like, he blesses me with a spouse. He blesses me with a family. He blesses, like, that's all extra. The purpose of your life is so that he's made known. And then his grace is so big, he gives you more. He gives you a spouse. He gives you a family. He gives you a job. He gives you an income. That's all extra. How many times do we get into this thinking, like, that's our given, like, we're entitled to that, like, I'm here and I work hard so I have money, and I'm here and I'm a good man so I have a good family. Like, that's all extra that we get. That is just an extension of his grace. So we got to get to this place. I want to give you a couple more verses, and then we're going to do some pretty fun things. I want to read to you, excuse me, I didn't have it pulled up, I'm so sorry. So I want to go back to that verse in 1 Timothy. I know I've read it a couple times, but I really, I can't get away from this. And I hope that after we're done here that you don't get away from it either. I hope that you go home to 1 Timothy 1 and I hope you meditate on this. I hope that this week, today isn't the end of what you learned today, but I hope that you continue to get this. But I want to read out of the Message Bible, which I don't do super often, but this is good. This is good. I'm going to go back to that same verse and we're just going to read this in the Message really quick. I'm so grateful to Christ Jesus for making me adequate to do this work. He went out on a limb, you know, entrusting me with this ministry. The only credentials I brought to it were invective and witch hunts and arrogance. But I was treated mercifully because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know who I was doing it against. Grace mixed with faith and love poured over me and into me, and all because of Jesus. Here's a word you can take to heart and depend on. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm proof, public sinner number one, of someone who could never have made it apart from sheer mercy. And now he shows me off, evidence of his endless patience to those who are right on the edge of trusting him forever. To those who are right on the edge of trusting him forever. Your buck, God, definitely will bring people to Christ. That is, yes, you're so that. Is for the people who are on the edge of trusting him forever. Let's go back to the slushy story. Are you with me? We're not here for a 5-minute slushy. We're here for what lasts forever. Your buck, God, is so important. Again, I'm not going to get away from that. But if you're not careful, your buck, God, could be nothing but a slushy. If your buck, God, doesn't have a so that, all you have is a slushy. But if you mix it with a so that, that's where you get into for the people who are right on the edge of trusting him forever, eternal life. That's what we're here for, right? That's what we're here for, is to save other people, to make him known. Philippians chapter 3, this is the last verse I'm going to say. Now that I have already obtained this, or I'm already made perfect, but I press on, sorry, not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already made perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. This verse doesn't use the words but God or so that, but it's all kind of the same. He says, I'm getting there, but I'm not there yet, but I press on the whole point. I press on. So we're going to do something. The worship team is going to come back up. We're going to do something that I'm really excited about. Okay, so I'm a big believer in, if you have something, I like to write it down. I have post usually in my dorm room. I got like post-it notes on my mirrors. I got them everywhere, which probably stresses me out more. But anyways, we're going to claim everything that he's done. We're going to put it into words. We're going to visualize it. We're going to write it. I think I had someone grabbing the tables for me. Can you do that? Thank you. Yeah. So what we're going to do is two different things. So I believe on the chairs, you should have had cards. I think we have extras somewhere. I'm looking to Jonathan because he said that we had extra cards to hand out for people that didn't have them. So what we're going to do is we have a poster up here that's going to be sitting right over here. It's a blank poster. We're not going to write on it. A lot of you should have had post-it notes. If you don't have them, we have extras. And so what we're going to do is we're going to write down our buck God statements. You don't have to put your name on it. We're not asking you to like condemn yourself or something. Like, we're not really looking for that. This isn't a place of condemnation. This is a place of celebration. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate everything that he's done. We're not just going to think about it and be like, man, that was cool. I feel like I have a story. Like, we're going to take ownership of our story and write it down. So what we're going to do on this poster board, it's going to be right over there somewhere. And I want you to write on those post-it notes, whatever, this part, and then the buck God and what he did. So that's the first part. We all have one. Every single one of us has one of those. So we're going to own it. We're going to write it down. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to write a few. You can write as many as you want. Thank you so much. And then we have this box. So a lot of you had, I have a card. I've been referencing a card that I had the whole time. So your post-it note should be on there. I think we have some extras we're going to bring up here. You can put the cards up here. That's fine. So you all should have a card that looks like this. Here's the thing about your life. We talk about how your life isn't meant for you. Your life is so that his character would be made known. It's important to recognize that we are the body of Christ. We're not really called to do it on our own. In fact, no church is really called to do it based on one person. Like, that's why we're the body. There are areas in this church that, like, we need people. Like, our kids, our nursery children's church, we have the best kids. And I can tell story after story of things I learned. I can remember, even now in my 20s, things I learned in Sunday school. Sunday school is valuable. People, we need people to teach our kids. That's just how it is. I'm not saying that to be condemning. I'm saying, like, look, we need you. We need you. Your so that is connected to how you serve in the church, in the body, because we are called as the body, the hands and feet of Jesus, and it takes all of us. It's not just Pastor Doug on a Sunday and Josh Rihanna up there and the youth coming up. Sometimes, like, this takes all of us. And so on this card, it has your name and your contact information and areas that you'd like to serve. And I want you to take a minute, and I want you to first think about your buck, God. Okay, what has God done in me? What's my story? Maybe this is your first time ever thinking that you have a buck, God. Okay, I want you to think about that. And then I want you to think, okay, what is the so that? Like, for Paul, it was I was a persecutor of Christians and a blasphemer of Jesus, but I mean, God saved me. And how patient does that make Jesus look? Like, how patient? And we got to get into that thinking. We got to get into this mindset that's, it's not about me. It's about what people see, the Jesus in me. And so these cards have a bunch of areas that we need serving in. If you're a little bit, like, unsure, you can write under here, like, your talents. But I don't want this to be okay, they have a need. And, like, I'm really good at working with my hands, but I guess I'll go work in the nursery. Like, that's not the point. The point is, while you have a story, you have unique gifts and abilities to serve. Every single one of you. All of you. This includes nobody. So whatever it is in your heart, whatever it is that God has gifted you with, we want you to be a part of it, like, what's going on here. And we want it to be, like, lined up with what God's done in you. So if you're good at working with your hands, I think there's, like, a building. Yeah, building maintenance. If you're really good at working with your hands, go ahead and circle that. If you're really good at working with kids, circle that. If you're really good at serving where there's a need, you circle nursery and children's church. Hear me right now. Okay. All of these different areas, and if you're not a little bit sure, you can just circle it, write a question mark, write what you're good at, that's fine. But you can begin to fill those out now. And what we're gonna do, I know the music is kind of quiet, but we're gonna celebrate, we're gonna jump around, and we're gonna do it for a little bit. So don't think you can sneak out of here and eat. It's only 11:15, okay? and I'll dismiss you in a second, but there's cards up here, there's post-it notes up here, and I want you to be a part of what God is doing today. I want to celebrate with you. We want to celebrate together what God has done, our buck gods. That should be celebrated, and that should be recognized. And we also want to celebrate what he's doing in us, because it doesn't stop the moment that we get saved. Like, that's not the extent of it. He wants to use you. He desires to use you. So my encouragement to you, let him. Be a part of what God is doing. Don't miss out on this today. So as you come, we're going to have the worship team come. And like I said, we're going to go into a praise song. We're going to jump around and have some fun. And we're going to celebrate what God's done. We're going to celebrate what God's doing and continuing to do. But will you just pray with me really quick before we do? Heavenly Father, Father, we come before you and we worship you and we praise you, Father. I thank you for every single person in this room. Father, I thank you that every single one of them has a story. You have done something in each and every one of them. And furthermore, Father, you have unique talents and abilities in every single person in this room. You have a desire for every person in this room, something that they're supposed to be a part of. And Father, I thank you that when we choose to be a part of what's going on at church, it doesn't just stop there, but you bless it and you bless it and you bless it the same way we talked about earlier. You honor our obedience, like with our giving and our tithe. Father, you honor this too. And so, Father, I thank you that it's not just asking people to come do work at church, but Father, this is inviting people in to be a part of what you're doing, inviting them into this opportunity you're presenting for more blessing and more power and authority, Father. And I thank you that as people are making the decision today to choose you, that as people are making the decision today to choose their so that's for the first time, you're showing them more freedom. You're showing them more power. You're showing them more authority. And Father, you're teaching us how to receive of you. You're teaching us how to receive so we don't have to wait on you to do something, but we come and get it. We come and claim it. Father, we give you all of the worship, all the praise. Father, I thank you that in this time, as we give this time back to you, Father, that your presence would be made known in this place, that as we jump around and celebrate, that this be an edifying time, Father, that you would just be celebrated. And I thank you that as people are making those decisions today, heaven is celebrating too. Heaven is celebrating as we realign our thinking with you. Father, heaven is celebrating as we realign our thinking of our life to how you see it. Heaven is celebrating. So we're going to shout, we're going to praise, we're going to have fun, Father. We just give you all the praise and all of it in Jesus' name.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.